Hello and welcome to RCGP Together Perspectives, peer-to-peer conversations digging into anything and everything general practice, brought to you by the RCGP Membership Communities team. I'm Evie, and this week we're sharing perspectives on physical health during COVID-19. So I'm delighted to have here three GPs who are all interested in this area in various ways. So if you'd like to introduce yourselves.
So, hi, I'm Sarah Thompson. I'm a salaried GP in West London. I've been doing that for a couple of years now. And I also work part-time as a UCL teaching fellow. And I look after the culinary medicine and digital health modules there. And I'm looking at developing some more lifestyle medicine interventions and modules for UCL in the coming academic year. And I am also a yoga teacher. So I've been doing a little bit of yoga teaching on and off since I did my qualification in Thailand a couple of years ago. And now I'm doing regular classes for family and friends, I've done some stuff for colleagues and some things for the RCGP.
And my name is Neda Joshi. I am a GP ST3 in London. I am in training and also a dance instructor. And my main interest has been bringing dance and dance fitness to general practice and seeing how that can help with movement and also bringing the team together. I'm also working with a group called the Work Well Doctors at the moment to help improve well-being of doctors, particularly GP trainees during the pandemic.
Hi, my name is Simon Tobin. I'm a GP and a trainer. I've been at the same practice in Southport in the northwest of the UK for 26 years. I've been interested in lifestyle medicine. I got in embarrassingly late, really. About sort of 8, 9, 10 years ago, I started taking a real interest in it. My main interests are, as I said, lifestyle medicine, diabetes, particularly sort of dietary reversal of diabetes, and of course, physical activity as well. I have an unpaid voluntary job with Parkrun UK as an ambassador for health and wellbeing. For me, maybe the transformation came 10 years ago when I began to start thinking about what opportunities there were to manage people's conditions, patients' conditions, and my own physical and mental health without resorting to medication. Over the years, I've had countless discussions with my patients about options. And increasingly, I'm trying to give options to my patients and ask what their preference is. And so quite often I'd ask them, you know, for their blood pressure, for their heart disease, for their diabetes, would they prefer to think about a tablet, taking that, you know, lifelong, or would they prefer to think about lifestyle change? And of course, you don't have to do one or the other. You can do neither. You can do both. But increasingly, when I offer that to my patients, my patients are telling me they would prefer lifestyle change. They prefer to do some more exercise rather than start immediately with tablets. And so about 8, 9 years ago, I began experimenting with that. And surprise, surprise, it works. And so I've now got countless numbers of patients who I manage with diet and with exercise rather than sticking them on lifestyle medication. And I think people are really fearful about lifelong medication, and they'll do anything to try and avoid that. So that for me has become a real change. Coupled with that, Parkrun started a Parkrun in the middle of Southport, right in the middle of my practice area, nearly 4 years ago now. That was a fantastic opportunity for me to begin to think about using physical activity even more for my patients. And I started, I think referral is too strong a word, but introducing and inviting my patients to come down with me on a Saturday to Southport Parkrun and give it a go. And I've now referred or brought down, offered 168 of my patients to Southport Parkrun with some amazing results, some phenomenal changes in their health as a consequence of improving their physical activity. So it's been a real eye-opener for me.
That's amazing. I feel like you must get a lot less red and sweaty than I do when I run, because I feel like running into my patients in Parkrun, I mean, I have actually done it several times. I'm just like, oh, hello, hello. And they're like, who is that woman that's like really sweaty and slow at the back? And I'm like, yes.
I think there's a bit of a myth that running comes easily. I've been running for maybe 14, 15 years. It's never come easy for me. It's really, really hard. It makes me feel ill and breathless and pants and sometimes feel a bit sick if I push myself a bit too hard. Yeah. But I feel great after it. And I usually have a run on a Monday evening. And my wife recently said to me, gosh, you're so much happier on a Monday evening when you've come back from your run. And I guess that's not, you know, unrelated.
Yeah, I think I completely agree. It's sort of one of those things, isn't it, that like with any exercise really, that you kind of, you don't always feel like it. Like I've committed myself to doing twice weekly yoga classes for friends and family during lockdown. And like sometimes I'm a bit like, I'd rather just sit and watch a film, like hands down, for sure, on a Tuesday evening. But then actually, I always sleep better on a Tuesday evening because we do yin and it's nice and like calming and I'm really in my zone. I just go to bed really early and it's great. And I'm always really pleased. And like on a Saturday morning, do it at 9 o'clock and it's kind of, you know, sometimes you would like a bit of a lie-in or I've not had my breakfast in time. I'm trying to get to the NHS hour at Tesco's. But then again, I'm always so pleased when you've done it. It's just that kind of getting yourself off your sofa, isn't it?
You're so right. For me, dancing has always been something that I've really enjoyed. And when people say, oh, you must exercise this amount per day, per week, it all just feels very arduous. Whereas for me, I always try and encourage myself and my patients to think, well, what exercise works for you? Because whatever you find enjoyable is what you're going to maintain. If someone told me to go for a run, I'm sorry, Simon, I'd probably say no or be a bit more reluctant. But I know that there are types of exercise that I enjoy more or that I can try and that I will enjoy and not feel so hard done by by having to engage in it. So like you're saying, that if you have that day that you feel that you don't really want to engage, for me, if I do a dance class, it doesn't matter what mood I'm in before I start, I will always end up feeling better than when I went in.
I mean, there's so many options now in terms of like all the different types of exercise. Like, you know, people are like, oh, I'm not a runner. And you're like, okay, that's fine. Like swimming, cycling, yoga, dance, like Tai Chi, whatever floats your boat. Like you're going to be able to find something. And that's so amazing. And you know, a lot of this stuff is like free or in the community. And I think that's something that kind of a lot of people maybe find that there's lots of barriers that are quite difficult to overcome in terms of cost or timings or, but actually, you know, if you want to, there will be something that you'll be able to find that you can enjoy.
I've been really quite overwhelmed by the amount of availability of things online, almost, you know, the feeling is quite overwhelming that you want to participate in everything and you really have to do pick and choose as to what you want to achieve that day. I mean, from a dance perspective, I can say there've certainly been international superstars who are giving free classes each day, and you just think, well, how could I miss this opportunity to get such wonderful tuition from someone that you'd normally never get to experience that kind of teaching from? So there is a lot of fear of missing out as well. If you're in the middle of clinic and you think, oh gosh, well, I would love to go on that Instagram live just to check out that workout now. But we have to realize that it's important to pick what you want and to schedule it into your day. So it doesn't become a task. It remains as enjoyable.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting thing, thinking of exercise as a task. And one thing that I've realised, that I read something years ago about good habits. And good habits are things, sort of good behaviours that you do regularly. And after, evidence seems to suggest, 8 or 9 times, you stop thinking, do I want to do this? And you just do it. So I run on a Monday evening, and I've been doing that for years. If I ask myself, do I want to do this? The answer is no. I would really prefer to stay at home. And sometimes I just have a feeling of dread before it. And I really don't want this. I'm knackered. But it's a good habit now. I've been doing it for years and it's just what I do. And I don't even go through that thought process of, do I want to do it? I do my exercise. I do usually 5 exercise sort of efforts a week. Mixture of running and sort of sessions in the what used to be the gym and is now the back garden. But I don't think about it anymore. I just get on and do it as a habit. And I think that's really, really helpful. I found that early on when I thought too much about shall I do this or shan't I, the answer was usually, well, I won't do it.
Yeah, there's always something more appealing that you can decide you'd rather do at that particular moment.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think I realised from one experience with my own GP that we were having a conversation about physical exercise and the GP did nothing but look at the computer the whole time. I was dressed head to toe in fitness gear and they just said, well, why don't you try going for a run? And I just thought, well, hold on, why are we not engaging with the people that are right in front of us? that you've got a patient in front of you that's dressed in fitness gear. I was just about to go and teach my weekly dance class, but there was no conversation about what exercise would engage me or enthuse me. And it was just a very blank wall. And I'm not suggesting that any of us have this specific tendency, but I can see that I've seen it as a patient. So it was very difficult to receive that. I felt very, very strange to have to hear that. And I thought, well, I hope that I'm not doing this with my patients. And I hope that I am encouraging them to, you know, find what works for them and actually recognize that some people are doing exercise and we need to quantify, you know, is that going for a walk? Are you walking the dog? Are you going for a jog? Are you lifting weights? It's really going to depend from person to person, and we shouldn't do a one size fits all when it comes to exercise, because different exercises will have different effects, like you said, Evie, just on your physical health and also your mental health. And sometimes yoga is exactly what you need, and sometimes a run is exactly what you need. But we need to make sure that we tailor those things to our patients and the specific circumstance.
I think sometimes it's about tailoring the advice, as you say, Nurja, to the individual, to asking them what's worked for you, what sort of exercise have you done in the past, what do you enjoy doing, what would you like to do, and that will vary across the board. And it really doesn't matter whether it's brisk walking or running or yoga or cycling, swimming, gym classes, whatever floats your boat. But it needs to be personalised and individualised for it to be successful.
And I think as well, one of the things that kind of has come quite nice to emphasise is in terms of people who maybe are feeling lonely or like their mental health is kind of suffering, actually, that, you know, if you exercising can be like a very nice sense of community. So you kind of things like park run, but also Good Gym, which is an organisation nationally where you go for sort of shortish runs and go and do a good deed. And there's lots of different kind of versions of that around. I mean, that so therefore you meet nice, like-minded people, you get out, you go for a run, it's quite social. Or, you know, do you want to be in a team? Do you want to be in a team sport, like play netball, basketball? Like, would you rather have something regular with practices and then maybe some matches? Or actually, does the idea of playing in a match freak you out and you'd rather just do something kind of more low-key for fun? Or do you want to do something around your, like, very flexibly? So maybe something like a more solo sport would work. So kind of looking, as Simon was saying, about kind of what the patient's aims are, and then kind of being able to, it's not just, oh, just, you know, you should go and do some exercise, like go and run around your park, because, you know, like you were saying, like a lot of people are just like, oh, no thanks. So, but even, you know, also, I mean, as so I was saying, you know, I wasn't a runner. I probably still wouldn't class myself as a runner. The first run I went for was probably about 5 years ago. I ran for about 15 minutes. I had to lie on the floor clutching my chest because I had chest pain. And then about 18 months later, I ran a marathon. I mean, still incredibly slowly. And there was some pain involved, but fortunately not in my chest. You know, so it's, sometimes it's just about kind of, if you think you would like something, maybe pushing through. It's that first sort of 20 minutes, isn't it? It's supposed to be of running, cycling, these kind of things. That's awful. And if you only ever do that 15, 20 minutes, it's always awful. But then once you push through, you can like, you get the all the benefits and you can really like see the improvement in yourself as well. And that's really... like that's really nice to see, especially in something like lockdown where it might feel that things are a bit stuck. Actually, if you've knocked 10 seconds off your 5k time, that might be an amazing achievement.
I'm just picking Sarah up on that I'm not a runner. So for somebody who's not a runner, you trained regularly and ran a marathon.
Yeah, slowly.
Yeah. Isn't that a runner?
Well, I would go jogger, actually. Okay. I think I'd take jogging, but yeah, I know my dad's always like, how are you not a runner, Sarah? They're like, although sometimes you do look a little bit like you're walking. And I thought that was mean. 25 miles in, I think I'm allowed to walk a little bit. No?
Absolutely. I think joggers are a slightly pejorative term, isn't it? And there's a kind of perceived elitism, which when I mix with runners, doesn't really exist in the normal world. But if you run periodically from time to time, you're a runner.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's okay. I'll take it.
It's quite interesting because it kind of brings us on to the topic of from focusing on our patients' health to our health as health professionals. So I was new to ST3. I thought I was teaching dance classes outside, had people come in, tell me what a great time they had. Everyone left with a smile on their face, created a wonderful community. And you just think, well, why on earth am I managing to do this outside of work? And why haven't we brought it into work? So I thought, let's be brave. Let's try and bring this project into work and see what happens. So as you can imagine, when I said, oh, let's dance at lunchtime, there was a mixture of, oh, that sounds great, and a mixture of, I really don't like dancing, or I don't dance unless, you know, the circumstances allow and there's darkness. I said, no, it's absolutely fine. Let's give it a go and see what happens. So we had a 10-minute lunchtime Zumba session, which had the partners, the salary GPs, the trainees, the nurses, healthcare assistants, pharmacists, receptionists, admin, everyone together in one room. And we don't have that situation. We have team meetings, but they never involve absolutely everyone. It's always some people from here and some people from there. So that was the first wonderful thing. And for those 10 minutes, we were not thinking about our patients from the morning. We were completely focused on which ways our arms and legs were moving or not, as the case may be. And everyone just had, you know, a bit of a sweat and definitely left with a smile on their face. And that led to a lot of lunchtime conversation between people that wouldn't normally talk to one another, which is really important in general practice. So I was speaking to other trainees and they said, well, have you noticed that our step count has gone down massively since going from hospital to general practice? And I thought, well, why does this have to be the case? Let's try and bring the exercise into the workplace, and rather than making it an extra thing to do when you get home. And it did have a lot of positive impact. So that's what I was trying to achieve. And then lockdown happened. So our physical activity that was suddenly tumbling down this hill of our steps going from 10,000 a day to, you know, 2,000 to 3,000 a day, suddenly went to, you could work entirely from your bedroom and call all of your patients from home, and you could do absolutely no movement and have no accountability whatsoever. So I worked a little bit with the RCGP to create a series of dance fitness videos, which are now accessible to GPs all over the country. And we've had some really great feedback. So it's something certainly worth trying if people just think, oh gosh, yeah, I quite like dancing, but do I really? Or it's only 10 minutes. And I've had people who hate dancing do it just as a favour to me, and they've come out laughing. So it's certainly worth a go if anyone feels like giving it a try.
So some really interesting points that you raised there, Nerja. But firstly, I've thought a lot over the years as a GP trainer about ST3s in particular and lack of exercise, because we pound those wards, those corridors for years. You also mentioned something that makes me think. You mentioned the who you exercise with is really important. And recently with lockdown, I've been not seeing my friends as often as I'd like. So since the regulations were relaxed a couple of weeks ago, I've met a friend once or twice, or different friends once or twice a week, just two of us together, to go for what we call a social run together. And we do the social distancing, but we run somewhere beautiful. And it's a mixture of exercise and sort of connecting with a friend, which is, I've realized, has become really important to me. And to add value to that, what makes it even better is if I can exercise outdoors. For me, there's something visceral and important about exercising in green spaces and ideally connecting with nature. So I'm fabulously lucky. I live on a beach, so I can run on the beach. I can run in. We've got some amazing pine woods near us. So I've got lots of places to run. But even just running around a local park makes me really, really happy. And so there's something really important for me, and I think probably for many people, about connecting with nature. And if you can connect with nature and do some exercise as well, and I realize you can't always, but if you can do some exercise somewhere green, I think that can be really, really helpful. There's some evidence that things like your natural killer cells get much more active after you've done some exercise in a green space. No idea how that works or why it works, but when there's a worldwide pandemic, you could probably do worse good. Things to boost your immunity than do some exercise somewhere green.
I completely agree about the kind of where you're doing things as well. Like, I'm in London, but like there's still lots of nice kind of like parks and things around me, and people often ask me what I like listen to when I run. And, you know, because I used to kind of think, oh, I need to have like a good beat to like keep me going. But actually, I realized that didn't keep me going. And then sometimes I listen to podcasts because it's really fun, like opportunity to learn something and takes your mind off it. So you kind of, you can do that. But like during lockdown, I've actually been running with nothing and just actually trying to like be a bit more present and like listen, you know, and I listen to the birds, and because I'm doing a lot more runs kind of around the same area because obviously I'm in the same area. It's actually really like, I mean, I love gardens and plants and things, and I've like kind of charted the flower growth on my route, and you know, it's actually been lovely. Like the weather's been amazing and it's felt so nice, and like actually I feel like I've discovered like lots of like nice little new streets that I haven't gone down before, because you know, going down these random little back streets, and it's actually I think been like really, really good to kind of engage with the nature even more than I might have done just by kind of going out. And so like you're saying, if you're going with a friend, like yes, you might be engrossed in conversation. Obviously I'm sure your friends are engrossing, but you might also kind of like you're more in the moment, even if you are talking to your friends, like you kind of, you're going to more likely sort of point things out that are interesting, or you know, a lovely flower that smells great, like because you want to share it. So I think that's a really nice thing that you can do.
It's interesting that this connects really well with the Royal College, and I know they're promoting the five ways to well-being kind of model. But this thing about noticing, you're absolutely right. I used to run with music the whole time, partly to distract me from the pain and misery that I was putting myself through. But I realised after a while, when I took my headphones off and when I chucked away my GPS and stopped counting the miles and the seconds, that the actual experience became much, much better. That I was just enjoying a run in the woods. And I didn't know whether I was quicker or slower. But, you know, and in reality, it doesn't make any difference. You've gone for a half hour run or a three quarters of an hour run, you know, great. But that noticing that you mentioned, Sarah, is really, really important. Maybe it's a mindfulness thing about just living the experience and feeling and looking around you. Even just a brisk walk. I've started taking my elderly dad out for a walk, you know, again, socially distancing. We just walk down the beach and we look at stuff on the beach, pebbles and crabs and stuff like that, that I've been running on that beach for 15 years. I've never seen, it never looked at things closely. So all of a sudden it's brought a new perspective, and we just chat about, you know, what we're seeing, what we're observing, what sort of birds, what sort of trees. And it's become a much bigger experience than just getting out for a bit of exercise.
Yeah, I mean, I think, obviously, I'm just going to plug yoga quickly because that's my thing. But, you know, yoga is all about kind of mindful movement and things. And one of the things I think is really great about it is the way that you're encouraged to kind of stay in the moment. And so it's all about just connecting. And, you know, obviously, you can do basically anything mindfully. So therefore, I think it's really helpful in times of like stress and anxiety, because, you know, anxiety is about the future. And so actually, if you can spend an hour doing something mindfully, or less than an hour, however long you want, and really just being in the moment, actually, those anxieties about the future are no longer in your mind, even if it is just for that short space of time, which is just, is quite a release. And, you know, I think obviously lots of people are feeling very anxious at this time, which is obviously completely natural. And so actually, yeah, just kind of doing something. It doesn't have to even really be exercise, you know, like gardening or cooking or anything that kind of keeps you grounded in that moment is like, does wonders for your anxiety levels.
There's some interesting evidence about gardening, that the gardening as physical activity really, really, you know, is excellent. In terms of things like sustained blood pressure drops, it's often greater after gardening than any other form of exercise. So gardening, and I'd put brisk walking or just getting out for a walk. I think we dismiss it as, oh, if you're not destroying yourself, you're not doing proper exercise. For me, it's about moving, and ideally moving in within nature, you know, is ideal.
And just adding to what you said, Simon, so firstly, I weeded the garden the other day. I can confirm that it is indeed good exercise.
Excellent.
But it's just important for people not to feel guilt if they couldn't do the movement that they used to be able to do. So I had a lot of people complaining at the beginning, saying, I do weights in the gym and I'm used to doing this with all this equipment and now I don't have it. So what I'm doing is not good enough. Or if I go for a walk and not a jog, then it's not good enough exercise. Or if I do 5,000 steps and not 10,000, it's not meeting a goal. Now, I've had a lot of people who've met wonderful exercise goals during lockdown, and notably a lot of people who have been doing couch to 5K I regularly get their updates saying how well they're doing, and that's fantastic. But equally, we need to just make sure that no one gets demonized for not reaching a new goal or not finding, you know, the new personal best during lockdown. That's absolutely fine too, because any movement is good movement, and people should, you know, be congratulated for doing what they can during this time, because with so many life changes that everyone's been going through, there is a bit of an added pressure that you must also get your personal best whilst going through. Yeah,
you have to like
pandemic.
Improve yourself as well as just get through it. Everyone's talking about, you know, you're going to finish that project that they didn't do 20 years ago, and actually, you know, maybe you just want to, I don't know, do something lazy and nice.
You're right. As a 55-year-old runner, my quickest times, at my very best, I was almost mediocre. But my quickest times are long behind me. And it's quite can be quite depressing as somebody who's taken running seriously to just watch your times, you know, just increase in distance away from you, and a feeling that you're never going to run anywhere nearly as quickly as again, and you're just plotting your decline, which is why it was such a relief to not tie myself to timing myself anymore, and to set to refocus the goal on doing the exercise and mixing with some friends, or just getting out into a green space, rather than running a 10K in 39 minutes or whatever, which was just becoming increasingly demoralizing, and I was pushing myself too hard at times. So now it's just about getting out to exercise 5 times a week, ideally enjoying it, connecting with people, getting outside and enjoying the experience, rather than, you know, hitting yet and, you know, increasingly difficult targets.
I think as well, one of the things that I kind of try and encourage my patients to do is, so I mean, I'm very lucky. I live pretty near my work, but I tend to cycle to work. Sometimes I walk, or sometimes I walk in and run home and things. And actually kind of, I often think it kind of helps when you, if you're talking to somebody, and rather than just sort of feed them sort of saying, well, it's all right for you, like, you know, you don't need to lose weight or whatever, but actually, like, if they can see, you know, your high-vis jacket on the back of the door and your helmet and things, like, actually there is some effort that goes into kind of keeping myself healthy as well. So, you know, it's not just super easy, but also it's about kind of building it into routine, like you're kind of saying, that it's a good habit. So kind of like, yeah, I try and cycle to work most days, and it's great, and it's just, you know, actually you've done however much, like half an hour of exercise without even really thinking about it, and that's a really great way to kind of fit it in, especially if you then feel that, you know, when you, as soon as you get home, you've got to get dinner on the table, or you've got your kids to look after, or you just want to like relax a little bit. Actually, if you can do it on the way home, and I often find that it gives me a bit more like mental distance from work as well, because I've kind of switched off a bit. I've enjoyed a bit of fresh-ish air, because I do cycle home via the North Circular. So, you know, but like, and it's even though actually it's like an 8-minute drive, even like a 12-minute cycle is just so much, it just feels mentally so different, and it's really great.
And just, I totally agree with that. And I'm just thinking about the number of GPs that are working from home at the moment. And it, especially those who perhaps are shielding, then it's a lot more difficult to get that kind of physical and mental distance between going to work and not. So my advice for people that are working from home would be that a lot of people have said to just go for a walk before you start work and kind of mimic your commute if you're able to, if the regulations allow. But also, I think we're spending a lot of time at our screen. So I don't know about you both, but I'm currently very much in front of at least 2 or 3 screens at one moment, and you don't really have that encouragement of other people when you're working from home to get up and make a cup of tea or do anything. So actually, to then schedule in a 25-minute workout, which can be very, very effective just before lunch or in between patients, can give you that little bit of break, not just for your body, but also for your mind and for the screen time, which otherwise can build up as the day goes on.
Yeah, I'm probably not alone here. I wouldn't have imagined. I was not set up for home working at all. I've got a terrible chair, like it's basically a fold out dining chair. So I've been having like a lot of back problems. And you know, lots of people are like, I thought you were a yoga teacher. And I was like, that doesn't make me immune to back pain, people. but you know, to actually kind of, you're absolutely right. There's kind of getting up, moving around a little bit, like, and actually I invested in a little headset to do my phone calls with Bluetooth so that I could walk around the flat a bit, because I mean it's a small space, but at least then it's kind of just moving around. And I think that's something that, you know, lots of people are getting kind of back niggles and stuff, because you just weren't expecting to work from home. And you know, I live in a small flat that's got kind of a small flat that's, it's also, I inhabit the same space all day. Whereas, you know, because it's just a one sort of open plan room, whereas actually, therefore mentally distancing is hard as well, because you're sitting there, then you relax there and you eat there. And if you, you know, for people who are in studio flats and things, you know, it must be really difficult just to kind of get that, yeah, that distance mentally from work. Because if your laptop is just sort of sitting there and you're like, oh, there's 20 DocMan letters that I haven't read yet, like they're just there. And you can always do them. And I think it's very easy when you're working from home to kind of always feel like you should be working. So kind of, I think I really love the idea of kind of mimicking your commute and get up and go for that walk, or even, you know, potentially even, you know, improving your commute. You can go for a walk somewhere much nicer than like down the North Circular, which is where I would go. So yeah, I love that idea.
It's interesting thinking about people who may be shielding at home or working from home. It's a good point. And I was slightly panicky when my gym closed, because normally I do two or three sessions at the gym a week. But then I guess, or what I found is that necessity is the mother of invention. And I thought, well, how on earth can I do my gym session at home? So with a weird concoction of sort of tins of paint and bottles of wine, of which I've got a few, and some old cushions from the garden furniture, I've managed to recreate something approaching my normal gym session that I can do in the garden, or I can do in the living room if it's raining. What I wasn't prepared to do was actually start dropping the number of exercise sessions. But I just had to think seriously about how's that actually going to work, given that I can't go to the gym. The other thing, just thinking about, you know, telephone triage that we're all doing so much more of, do either of you have a standing desk at work?
No, and I would.
So for under £100, best thing that I ever bought at the surgery. Mine is kind of manual. It comes on sort of springs. And so you can go from sitting at it to just hoiking it up yourself. You can get posher remote controlled, you know, electric ones. But I now do all my telephone consultations standing up. I do all my paperwork standing up. And just something simple like that has meant I spend several hours on my feet each day rather than several hours just sitting in a chair. And I'd become really lazy. I was sitting there for 2-3 hours at a time, even just buzzing my patients in. I'd stopped going to get my patients. And so getting a standing desk, just doing simple things like going to collect my patients, you know, and now, you know, the few that turn up for face-to-face appointments, really did make a difference for me. So have a think about standing desks.
Yeah, I think standing desks are like amazing. I've been a bit creative. I sometimes use the top of my chest of drawers as a standing desk. Yeah, working so far. And I've got an old sort of shelf that I kind of prop up against another chair that's a bit more like it's an armchair, but it's quite like it was my granddad's old armchair. So it's quite like, it's got good arms and straight back. And I prop my shelf across the arms of my chair as like another desk, because actually then you could like sit a bit better and it's got more lumbar support than my rubbishy dining chair, which is where I used to sit. So I think you can get creative and help, you know, the working at home situation, like you say.
Simon, probably more specifically for you, it's the anniversary of Parkrun coming up in just a couple of weeks.
Yeah, so I mean, it's rather sad to be celebrating anything to do with Parkrun when, you know, Parkrun in the 22 countries around the world where we operate has been shut down. But it will come back, and boy, that's going to be a really, really good day when that happens. The anniversary is it's the anniversary of the link up between the Royal College of GPs and Parkrun in June. And that's been a wonderful link up with the Parkrun Practice Initiative, where Parkrun GP practices could link with their local Parkrun. At last count, did we have 700 practices in the UK that had linked up with their local Parkrun? And we're just informally inviting patients, inviting GPs, practice staff, nurses, you know, colleagues, to just come down and just have a walk, or to have a run, or equally importantly, to volunteer. And there's something really, really important about giving. And again, that comes back to those five ways to wellness. Thinking about, you know, giving, just putting something back. And the people that I've seen benefit particularly from Parkrun, it's not just the people who are there doing some physical activity, it's also the volunteers. And I've volunteered probably twice as many times as I've actually run. And for me, it's just a fantastic buzz each Saturday morning. So for anybody out there who's interested in linking up their practice with Parkrun, it's completely free. It's a sort of high trust, low hassle. It's not like Quaff. You just have to go. If you just Google RCGP Parkrun, you'll get to the website. As I said, there's no cost. It's dead easy. And it's really just about thinking about promoting Parkrun as and when it starts. To your patients, to your staff, getting down there yourself, just to see if we can all encourage and support each other to do a bit more physical activity.
What's the one thing that you would like people to take away from this? One thing that they could do as a practice, as a GP, as an individual, as a patient?
It's really hard to come up with one thing, but to merge a couple together, I'd say try and establish a good habit of doing any form of exercise that interests you, ideally in a green space.
Simon's was very succinct. I have a feeling mine won't be as succinct, but do something that you enjoy. Think about how you can involve your practice in it. And if you're struggling for resources, have a look at the RCGP Wellbeing Hub. It's a good place to start.
I would say kind of absolutely pick something that works for you in terms of the type of exercise, when it can happen, and try and really engage and use it as an opportunity to do something mindfully as well to help with your mental health and any kind of anxieties that you might be feeling at this time.
Huge thanks to our guests this week. Check out the notes on our Audio Boom page below to follow their work and find more resources on keeping moving on the RCGP Wellbeing site, both for you individually and for the whole practice team. We'd love to see how you've been keeping active, so tweet us @TeenGP. That's all for now. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.